And welcome everyone to the Denama Abroad podcast, where we talk about everything and anything Denama Kiev related. I'm your host, Alex Lishik, and back with us in a long time, coming from across the Hudson River, is Eric. How's it going, Eric?
I appreciate getting the first intro on this. I don't think I've ever gotten the first intro.
You know, I usually keep it to alphabetical order, but this time I had to.
Okay, let you go first. I appreciate that. Yeah, it has been, it's been a few months, but it is genuinely very good to be back. And I'm really looking forward to previewing some friendlies, some news about Dynamo in the second half of the season.
And coming from this time, not across the Hudson River, from across the pond is Dima. How's it going, Dima?
Yeah, it's going good. It's good to finally be back. Finally have the legend, Eric, the legend himself, Eric, back. This should be a good episode. Course.
Yeah, Eric really enjoyed Molesky's birthday last week, I saw, so that was good to see. And we have a special guest with us, a good friend of mine, second time on the podcast. I was actually hanging out with him at this time last, or just over a week ago, is Komar, coming from Krakow. How's it going, Komar?
Yeah, it's great. I'm actually sitting in a very place you've been like eight days ago.
Yeah. I was going to say, I thought I recognized your background, where you are right now.
Yeah, so it's good to be back, and let's get on with it.
Yeah. So we're just going to hop straight into it. First of all, Happy New Year to all of those, as we have the first episode of 2023 starting right now. I guess the best place to start is Viktor Tsigankov left. So hope you save some champagne bottles from New Year's to pop them. So Tsigankov off to Girona for, I think, like 5 million and like 50% of the future fee. So yeah, expect Surkis to pop in with some new Range Rovers in the coming weeks. I don't know. Eric, since you haven't been on the pod in a while, good move Tsigankov to Girona?
This is actually the topic that I researched the most before this, so I'm glad that you called on me for this.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know enough about Girona. I know that they've bounced back and forth a few times between playing in the top flight in Spain and La Liga. The interesting thing for me about this one is, so the Transfermarkt market value right now on Tsigankov is around like 20 million, I think it was.
And yeah, 22.
Not to say that Transfermarkt is official, but I think from what I've seen in the past, typically they have a pretty good ballpark figure. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I'd probably have Tsigankov 15 to 20 million. Somewhere right in that range. So the fact that Dynamo got 5 million for him compared to Mudryk being valued at, again, I don't know what he's at. I mean, he's not worth 100 million, I can tell you that much. But the fact that they got probably four times worth what he's actually currently appraised at is interesting. But I don't know. Like, I'm happy that Tsigankov has moved on. Although I think we got way less for him than we should have. I mean, I think we should have gotten at least double what we got. But I guess 5 million is 5 million, along with 50% of a future sale. And it does pave the way for some other players to come in, notably youth players like Voloshin to play. But players are going to have to step up now, because Tsigankov has been involved in about 50% of goal contributions for Dynamo in the UPL, with, I believe, 6 goals and 5 assists. So we're going to need some guys to step up and fill that hole. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Komar, do you think this is a transfer? So Tsigankov transfers January 2023. Is this transfer for Tsigankov coming maybe a couple years too late?
Yeah, of course. I think the valid point that someone made was he should be sold after Serbia game.
Yeah.
I believe it was 2019, right?
Yeah, 2019.
Married?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's definitely too late, and he may have gotten a better offer by then, maybe Premier League or something, because I don't really believe that what he said, or his agent said, or his father, I don't remember, that there were like a lot of clubs interested, because I believe we heard only about Brentford, Forest, and Girona, right?
Yeah. Those are the three.
Because what I wanted to mention, that Girona actually submitted a valid offer on the summer, and Surkis just laughed at them, because he He said like 10 million in 4 installments, it's not a real money, right? And look at him now.
Yeah, only taking 5.
Yes, and well, he probably was sure that Tsikhankov is going to be as stupid as the rest of young Ukrainian stars, so to say, and yeah. Just
sign a new contract
and sign some 15-year contracts in Dynamo. And he said no, but I think that Sirkis is at least glad that Tsikhankov is patriotic and lets the club to earn some money.
Yeah,
because he commented before, I don't know if you guys read that him leaving the club on free in the summer would be unpatriotic because he wouldn't let Dynamo to earn money on his move. So
good to see Sirkis is also a true patriot, because that 5 million euros is definitely going to go to a good spot. Monte Carlo. Maybe he puts Dynamo, he bets Dynamo on the, on the roulette table. Dima, how confident are you in the potential replacements for Tsikhankov? So we know Karim Paris wants to play on the right wing. We know Voloshin is coming back from loan, and we know Lednev is also back from loan.
Well, in reality, you have to look at the kind of what Tsikhankov was in the team for. And, you know, you're looking at this, like where his goals and assists were coming in against. And, you know, not to say it's exclusively against these teams, but a large chunk of his goals and assists were against Minai, Inhulet, Ruch, you know, and the like. You know the kind of teams I'm getting. I'm talking about here. And a lot of them were penalties. Now, I think that, you know, I think that we have players that are capable of scoring those penalties against lower end teams in the UPL. In Europe, in most games, he was anonymous. I expect the others to be just as anonymous, right? I don't think there's going to be much of a change here. But it'll be interesting to see, in particular, what Voloshin is capable of, because he didn't have the worst. He wasn't having the worst of the first half of this season at Krivbas, which, I mean, they're not doing great, but I think he did decent enough. I think he scored against Dnipro Odin, which is, you know, that's more than our lot have managed to do. So, fair enough to the guys. So yeah, you'll have to see where that goes. And actually, I think Komar was talking about the teams interested. I believe also in 2019, Wolfsburg were interested and Hoffenheim were interested. And I think they offered about 15, 20 million. And again, that was rejected. But yeah, overall, you know, you've got to hope that he succeeds in Spain somehow. We get a profit on, because you know the 50% resale clause is pretty good, to be fair. Not so much the 5 million, but you know, with the players whose contract expiring in the summer, you can't expect much more than that, to be honest. So yeah, just got to hope he does well. There are a few Champions League level teams in Spain, and you know, with what I was seeing at Dynamo, that's not a good sign. But you know, who knows, it's a new thing. And one last thing, him wearing the number 8 is very upsetting to me. I don't like that at all. He's going to play on the right wing with a number 8. I don't like that.
He's wearing it to honor Shapeliev, I think. yeah, and it's basically So Dynamo had their first preseason game today against Rapid Vienna. And who started on the right wing? Was it Karim Paris? Was it Voloshin? Was it Lednev? No, it was Alexander Karavayev. I don't know where to go with that.
Go on, tell us. What was the score? Come on, reveal it to us.
Dynamo lost 4-0. If you chose to watch... if you chose to watch this, I have to... Actually, you know what? I will say, there were some positives coming from this game, I will say. The blue kit... That it wasn't 5. The blue kit looks really nice.
And we're never going to wear it again.
And we're never going to wear it again. And Vanat played. I don't know if Besedin played, so I don't know. I'm really scrolling on the Instagram just to try and get.
Well, we would have won 5-4 if Besedin played, with him scoring all five. So I don't think he did.
Yeah, five diving headers from the top of the box. So I guess we could just hop into the winter schedule real quick. So I know Dinamo have Maribor next, and then some other games, including against Ludogorets Razgrad from Bulgaria, Shkendia from Macedonia, Pakhtakor Tashkent from Uzbekistan, FK Riga from Latvia, and was this Liepaja? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. So guys, what do we think about the quality of opposition in this winter break? Is it, how are you rating the quality of the opposition during this winter break? I know it's tough because not all the better leagues, but Rapid Vienna is a quality opponent. So going from Rapid Vienna to not trying to sound disrespectful, but a Shkendi or Pakhtakor Tashkent, what are your thoughts on that? Dima, why don't you start? What are your thoughts? You love these games against teams like Shkendia. So what do you think about our friendly opponents?
You know, it's I don't care so much because, listen, we have no Europe. We have no Europe to play for, right? These are the kinds of teams, give or take, these are the kinds of teams we'll be experiencing in the EPL. So I think, you know, the team won't gain much from them, but, you know, the season's dead. There's nothing to prepare for. I don't think the younger players are gonna, if Lucescu even plays them, of course, I don't think that the younger players are gonna learn much from these games, but you know, it is what it is. And you know, we've seen this over and over again, you know, truly terrible displays against some pretty poor teams. It's a traditional thing now at this point, isn't it? You know, the winter camps, you know, against all these Shkendia,
Jordan, the Jordan national team.
Jordan, you know, absolutely horrible performances. And it's just, yeah, it's just what we've come to expect. But, you know, 4-0 is a poor result. You know, I know it's only a friendly, but, you know, that, you know, it doesn't decide anything, but it can't be, you know, it can't be great for the morale in the team, should we say, if such a thing exists. Within the squad, you know, they're not going to be happy. Oh, we lost 4-0, but it's only a friendly. They're going to be like, oh fuck, here we go again, you know.
Yeah.
So not great, but I know that one of the teams has a quite a big name on them. I guess I should let Komar, Alex, or Eric to talk about this.
Yeah. So Dim, I think you're referring to, and I'll bring Komar back in. Komar, what's the certain individual who plays for Maribor?
It's a former Atalanta, or as like to call this club Atalanta Bergamo. It's Josip Iličić, like the Slovenian old boy.
Yeah, he is old and he does not look in tip top shape. But Maribor is surely, actually, that's fair. That's a decent side probably to have a scrimmage against.
Yeah, Maribor, Ludogorets, and Rapid are actually not bad teams to have friendlies against.
No.
But recent years, Maribor, who used to be like a dominant force in Slovenian football for like 10 years, such as Shakhtar in Ukraine at Lucescu era. Now they, I don't know if they won the league in the last 3 years. So there are certain teams like Olimpia Ljubljana or Celje, the club that made Verbić. So and the club that sold us Kahin Baris. So yeah, another star. Slovenian football is pretty interesting, but it's sometimes it's used as a synonym to like a farmers league in Europe.
Yeah,
but there are pretty interesting players in there sometimes. For the other teams, I think that Ludogorets is an interesting project. It may be a little bit oligarchic. I think that some oligarch owns it, because Razgrad is not like a big city or something, just an investment. So and I think in recent years, Plastun played there.
He did, yeah.
So a certain Karpaty, former Karpaty player. So one some of you may know him. Well, like as Dima said, it's not really that important who we play. The style will be shambolic as it was, and I don't think we can get a lot of motivation. I don't think if we can play Ball or Jacek or someone like that, because that would be pretty useful for them and for the club. And knowing Luchescu, I think we won. So that's my optimistic prognosis for this preseason.
Yeah, and Eric, from your perspective, what do you want to get out of it? What do you want to see the team get out of this winter training camp?
I mean, just working up match fitness, really. I mean, I think that we're facing, as has already been said, UPL quality opponents, which isn't the worst thing in the world. But the best case scenario for this is building up match fitness. I would say to build some confidence, but after a 4-0 loss to Rapid, I don't see that happening. And I honestly don't even see us faring that well against the other opponents. And then, you know, we should be seeing some youth players getting opportunities to impress as well before we head into the second half of the season, but that's also not going to happen either. So again, best thing that can happen is players start getting match fitness and start getting ready to gear up for the second half of the season. I mean, I'm not a fan of this winter break. The only good thing about this winter break is when the season does resume, Shaporenko should be just about returned from injury by then, which is going to be vital to the second half of the season. But yeah, there's really not a whole lot of, I just don't see there being a whole lot of good takeaways and benefits from this time, apart from, like I said, just guys that have been off for a while getting match fit again.
Well, just a quick question. I don't think they do, but is Dynamo going to Winter Cup? Not really, right? Because it's, not their project.
No, I don't think so. Not this year, at least. Who runs the Winter Cup? That was like the Football Adin kind of style thing they had last year.
Yes, but
right?
They don't exist anymore.
So. Yeah, it's not going to be Football Adin, but because that was like some. Who was in that tournament? Was it like, didn't Usyk play in that
Polisia,
tournament?
Yeah. So I just asked because I wanted to see my favorite boxer was like tearing up Dynamo defense and scoring hat-trick against us.
Yeah, poor Alexander Sirota having to defend against Alexander Usyk. That would be the day. I'm actually happy you brought that up. So Dynamo Seltsagankov, and I was thinking, out of all of the youth products, which ones do you think Dynamo could cash in on now? That maybe you wouldn't want to necessarily cash in on them, but you think that they can cash in on them. I could rattle off a couple names if you guys want me to.
How are you defining a youth product?
23 and under.
Okay.
Because, like, for example, Shaparenko is 24, and I wouldn't count him as a youth product. He's pretty much.
I didn't know if you meant like guys that have recently come up from the youth team, or if you had a particular age in mind.
I would say like U23, as in they would be eligible to play for the Olympics.
Oh, yes. So is Zabarny still eligible? Or
Zabarny is eligible. He's 20 right now.
Yes, he used to be like pretty decent, but he like pretty much tarnished his reputation this season. So I don't know.
Yeah.
We probably already talked about it, but Sirkis really should have taken this 25 million from Spurs. I mean, if it was real, of course.
Yeah. I think he's still young enough, though, where if he can make a move in the next year, and he could kind of rebuild himself, though.
Yeah, so that would be my pick for the cash in.
How about Popov? Do we get rid of Dima? What do you think about Popov? Would you try to cash in on him, or would you try to pretty much keep him and try to see if he can be someone to hold down the fort for the foreseeable future?
I'd cash in on any of them, to be quite honest with you. They've all had such poor seasons. Why would I keep any of them? but you know, he's not the worst player. I think we could get some money for him. I think you know, he's not like, you know, going for pennies. I think, you know, get a few, you know, a couple million for him. But yeah, you know, his problem, you know what it is. It's the constant injuries. You know, the guy's made of glass. It's not, you know, it's really kind of hindered his development. But, you know, I'm trying to think of anyone who, you know, could cash in, but...
Supriaga?
Yeah, more like... Yeah, no, we're the good to be cashing in to get rid of.
Speaking about cashing in on forwards, I think we should move to some Donetsk-born Dynamo legend. You know what I mean, who I mean, right?
Are you trying? Are you Brayo Brabro?
No, this guy used to play for Vorskla. Maybe that rings a bell.
Are you talking about Bulac?
Yes, he's Donetsk-born. That's like. Interesting fact.
Oh yeah, because I forgot Kulach. We're apparently transferring. Oh yeah, we're gonna cash in on Vladislav Kulach.
But I think it's like it's not a free transfer, so
yeah. Oh yeah, so
more money. Still have his contract left. Yeah, he's still got a few years on it, so it's not free. But it's
his contract expires in June.
I'd never even heard of them before, but
it's like some Azeri team. Like they're fourth in a league right now.
You know who's still on the books at Dynamo? Kostevich.
Of course he is.
Jesus.
Yeah, and did he play an actual game or?
No, because remember he got a serious injury like in his first training session at Dynamo.
Oh yeah, great.
You know we're joking about this, but it's been nearly 3 years since we signed him, and he's still not played.
No,
like I. Just, you know.
Apparently Denis Kuzic is back on loan from Kolosko Halivka. So, yeah.
I think he's supposed to be a decent... Is that the left back?
Yes. He can also play right back, but he's predominantly left back.
Player.
He's from Ternopil Oblast, so... He has 4 appearances in the UPL this season. He has 4 appearances for the Ukraine U21s.
Well, So no appearances for UPA Ternopil then?
No appearances for UPA Ternopil.
Who would call it that?
But speaking, actually, you know what? Maybe we should talk about the loanees real quick. The people we have loaned out. We need Brashko back in the first team kind of badly because I don't think any one of us wants to see more of Storklik running around in the middle. Who else is out on loan? Voloshin's back. Why don't they list Voloshin as back yet? That's stupid. Who else does Dynamo have on loan? Can I not think of anyone else? Isayenko's back from loan, apparently.
No, so. We have Lednev back, so that's an important point. So maybe Eric will talk about this because you brought it up at the beginning.
Oh, it's yeah. Shaban.
I'm very excited for this. I think that, I don't know, I just think he's a... I don't see him on the same level as Bujarski, but I think at bare minimum, he can be a solid contributor within the UPL. I don't really see him making much of an impact in Europe, but then again, I don't see any player for Dynamo making a huge impact in Europe. So, but I think that when he did get chances, he made pretty good on his chances. I think he's pretty creative, good dribbler, good from set pieces. He's got a pretty powerful shot. And I think that he's someone that, again, at bare minimum, I just think he could be effective playing on the right wing, you know, kind of like as an inverted winger cutting in. Again, he's able to shoot from distance. I'm not trying to say that he's going to come in and be the star of Dynamo and lead us to a UPL title and qualifying for the Champions League. But I do think that he is someone that has the potential to come in and make a difference, but he needs minutes and he needs consistency and he needs to be given a chance. I just don't have confidence that Lucescu will do that.
Well, and one thing I remember, so Komar, you mentioned this earlier, that Tsigankov probably should have been sold 2019, right? Ukraine beats Serbia 5-0, should sell Tsigankov. I think that 2019 would have been the perfect time promote Lednev to the first team, have Tsitaishvili as right wing. So now you have Tsitaishvili and Lednev pretty much splitting minutes as starting right wingers, helping them develop more instead of keeping Tsigankov kind of pointlessly for another 3.5 years, which pretty much stunted the development of 2 very good players. You know, because Khatskevich never really gave either a chance. Mikhailchenko gave a little bit, he gave Tsitaishvili a chance, but nothing really crazy. So I don't know.
I just wanted to say, you reminded me of Tsitaishvili. Yeah, so before I go on to say what I wanted to, about the loans, he wanted to know. So we've still got Vitinho on loan.
He's Gerson, not coming back.
Buleta,
he better not come back.
Fransol, he's still here, believe it or not. Eric Ramirez, Duelund, and a bunch of...
You know what? What was the point in signing Kabayev instead of giving Buleta a chance? Because Kabayev,
you could say the same about Voloshin. You can say the same about Diallo. You know, these players are already at the club. You know, it's clear that, you know, it's just, you know, money washing by Chablis. I haven't checked, but I'm sure Chablis is his agent. But,
I'm just thinking about this, right? So we brought in, does Kabayev have a goal or assist yet this year?
No.
Yeah, and then
last time you asked this, and he didn't. Now he still doesn't because we didn't play. So.
Yeah, so nothing's changed. Good to know. So he's played. So Buleta has played 14 games this year for Zorya. He has 4 goals and 4 assists. That's 8 goals and assists compared to Buleta 0.
Yeah, I mean you can say the same about Nazari Rusin, who performed at Zorya like mostly always. And yep. In Dynamo, he was mediocre at best, but we seem to do it to every forward we get. So,
yeah. I don't know.
I just want to, because I took a quick look at Lednev's stats from the first half of the season. So, apparently, he played 13 games in all competitions and got 2 assists. So, that's not like... FYI, he played for Movidi.
Did he play with Shabanov?
With Mo Ferevar or something like that.
Yeah, in Hungary.
It was a Shabanov. Yeah,
No idea. I don't follow Paprika League, so so I just wanted to throw it in.
I mean, I feel like we can go on for ages about pretty much all the stuff that's wrong right now. But
I just wanted to say, you know, you mentioned Tsitaishvili, right? I mean, think back about 3-4 years. This guy was rated at least on the level of Mudrik, if not much higher, right?
Well, now, probably higher, considering the U20 World Cup. I think at that time, we're not talking now, we're talking 3 years ago.
Yeah,
I'm talking now.
Right, yeah, he's going to move for 120 million to Madrid, isn't he?
Yeah, from Lech Poznan.
You know what's going on? Why is supposedly these mega talented players rotting on loan in some pretty bang average leagues in Eastern Europe, while you know Shakhtar sell players, for you know. Tens of millions top clubs in West, you know, in the top 5. You know what's going on here. You know,
yeah.
So we're talking about a certain cat owner, right?
Right, right. I mean, you know, every single time we, you know, these players, they set the under 19 league alight, and when they come to senior football, a bang average. They are mediocre. You know what's going on within the academy?
Well, I think part of that problem is. Should some of those guys who are lighting the youth league on fire, should they even be in the youth league team? You know, if you have someone like, do you think Barcelona's top 18, 19 year old, do you think Gavi plays in the UEFA youth league?
No,
Pedri? You know, if they're rated as a top youth product, they're not bothered playing them in the youth league. They're with the first team, you know? So I think that's part of the difference. You know, how old was Mudrik when he started playing first team football? Was he 17 at Arsenal Kyiv? Okay, I'm not saying it was a great loan, so like he lit it up there, but still, a lot of these players, including Waxhap, are probably playing first team football 2-3 years earlier than our players. You know, when did Tsitaishvili really get his first chance? It was at the age of 20, maybe 21. He was. That's probably 2 or 3 years late, if not more.
Yeah, I think after the World Cup, he played like some late minutes in Dynamo games. Then he went to Chernomorets and got injured for half a year.
Yeah.
So that could have slowed him down, I guess. Oh no, he also went to Vorskla?
Yeah, right? And he actually started well at Vorskla too.
And also got injured.
Yeah. Because I remember he started off well. He had like a couple of goals, a couple of assists, and then got injured. But still, like, instead of, you know, debuting in the first team after that U20 World Cup, he should have probably been debuting a year or two before then, just to at least get some kind of regular level of minutes instead of playing with the U21s the whole time.
Yeah, and instead he ended at Wisła in the Polish league.
Yeah, didn't he get relegated?
He got relegated. Yeah.
Yeah,
he actually went to one of the games. Really? It was a great 0-0 draw against Jagiellonia Białystok with Taras Romanchuk in the squad. Maybe some of you know him.
Oh my god!
And yeah. I think Komchinowski was on bench. Maybe I'm sure.
Yeah, I wonder why Tita Julie didn't want to say. Did he just not fancy a trip to Głogów or Nowy Sącz? But that's that's getting beyond it.
Yes, exactly.
So, real quick, up to this point, we know Dynamo is a perfectly run football club. We win every single game, and based on that, we're able to attract the best players, right, Dima?
Yeah, like,
and it's not Stipe Buk.
$5 million? No. $3 million, and then we sell them in 20 years. No. Less of that. Anyway, what I was gonna say is you may not have heard Dynamo are signing Albanian striker. What's his name?
Shuka Skuka.
Juliano Skuka. Yeah, we're signing him. He should be. Oh wait, no, we're not, because he rejected us to go to FC Metz. French club, and they're not even in Ligue 1, right? They're not even in Ligue 1. They're in the second division. Now I hear all this, you know, about, you know, it's the war and things like that, but under no circumstances should Dynamo Kyiv be a less desirable club, war or not, than FC Metz. With all due respect, come on.
Listen, Dnipro Odin signed a player who started 3 World Cup games for Costa Rica.
They've been signing good players. I would just to look at SC Dnipro Odin.
Max Velev, that's for the starters.
Oh, the best goalkeeper.
Great goalkeeper.
In the league, of course. But there's a few. There's a good Hamash. I would take him. Definitely, I would take
Sarapi.
Him.
Sarapi.
Sarapi. Sarapi. He's having Picholona, because I quite rate him, to be honest.
You know who's a player a lot of people don't talk about that's pretty good. Rubchinski. He's like the center midfielder. He's only like 20. He's a good. If Dynamo were run properly, he's someone I would go for. Just because.
Listen,
I think
man.
Grow him a lot.
At this rate, do we have, on paper, purely on paper, do you think that we have a better squad than SC Dnipro Odin?
No.
Without Zahane Bodnar?
No.
I honestly think it's very close.
If we were to make a combined Dynamo Dnipro Odin squad, I think only realistically 2 Dynamo players would get in.
Shaparenko.
And Nesterad.
I rate Lundvik, so I would.
Oh yeah, maybe Lundvik.
Okay, fair enough.
And I don't remember who's left back, but Dubinchak has.
Dubinchak as well. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. I would honestly, I'd rather have Hamash than Dubinchak.
Really?
I think, you know, he's a decent player. He's an international player. Has experience in Europe, in some pretty good, you know. He played in France. He played in Portugal. I think that's a pretty good player there.
Yeah.
I would take him any day of the week. Let's not forget, you know, well, this is what I'm saying. You know, we're not even, you know, while we've been, you know, doing all this money laundering bullshit with ProStar or whatever their name is, you know, signing all
these pro stars.
Kostevic's, who, you know, are going to spend years at the club and not even get 10 goals and assists and all those.
10 goals and assists, they're not even going to get 10 minutes.
All put together.
Okay, just making sure.
Listen. You know, and while you know, Dnipro-Odin have been doing some smart business, you know?
Fair play to them.
I don't like to say this, but, you know, them and Shakhtar, I mean, you know, they are on so much better than us, and it is just so frustrating, you know, while we're bumbling around with these, you know, with all these rubbish players, you know, wasting so much money on these total no-names every single year, right? Other teams, they make good signings, they make good sales, and while we reject 25 million for Zabarni, just because, you know, we're not even going to get, I'd be surprised if we get half of that.
I would take 10 million for Zabarni, but a large sell-on clause.
I would take 15 million, I would accept. 15 yeah. million. Closer to 20 would be good, because he is still young, he's still quite experienced, but
yeah,
today and as well, he scored an own goal, he scored another own goal today.
Oh, well, imagine my surprise.
He scored an own goal today.
But you know what the thing is that's also concerning? So we're in third right now, right? Behind Wax, Tepa, and Dnipro-Odin. Imagine if Eric's favorite team got their shit together and had an owner that actually wasn't corrupt. That's another team that would probably be ahead of us.
You think so?
If Metalis had their shit together and were being run properly, they'd for sure be ahead of us.
I mean, you can say the same about Krv Bas and future Premier League champions, Karpaty Lviv. So.
Or, Karpaty, man. When they finally win a trophy. or even like Chornomor, it's like Dinamo are in a bit of a fortunate position where probably because of the war, some of these teams are not taking full advantage of the position they could have been in.
I mean, like, the Dinamo have been, should be in the most fortunate position of all teams in this league. When you take a look at having arguably the best domestic talent in the most positions out of 11 on the pitch, you've got other teams that don't have the same domestic talent. And again, most of the other teams, if you take a look at their teams, either have domestic talent that aren't as good, and they have foreign talent that's not as good, or you have a team that is better on paper, like Shakhtar, but that was heavily foreign-based, that have now gone and have left the country and aren't coming back. But somehow, like, Dinamo aren't able to take advantage of that. And I would like to say I don't understand that. I do understand it, unfortunately, but it just should not be the case. Dinamo should be top of the league right now. There's no excuses for that to not be the case.
And you look at Shakhtar, you know, look at their back four in the starting game. You'll see Trubin in goal, back four of like Matvienko, and I know Korniak is injured, and Konoplya. And listen, players like Konoplya are not anywhere near top level Champions League players. I can assure you of that much. But at the end of the day, they get the job done domestically, and our guys just do not at the end of the day. And I don't think that's simply down to bad players or bad coaching. I think it's just from a systemic issue. When these guys enter the academy at what, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, they see the systemic issues. And then, listen, if you're not really going to give a damn and you see no one else is really giving a damn that it's run properly, how do you think it's going to look like when you guys go and try and play on the day?
So Shakhtar are going to be in the Europa League. Are Dnipro-Odin in the Conference League?
Yes, because they're playing Larnaca in the Conference League.
The weakest team in our group that we couldn't beat.
Well, and Larnaca, Larnaca also knocked out Dnipro in Europa League qualifying.
Yes, so that's concerning.
I was just going to say that's probably the only one of the few good things that we have coming back to start the second half of the season, along with Shaparenko returning.
Yeah,
is Shakhtar and Dnipro-Odin will have European competitions as well with domestic, whereas we're solely domestic right now.
Yeah.
Again, it's probably a bit of a stretch, but it's something. But after in Hulets in our first match, the second match back is against Dnipro Odin.
Yeah, that's got to be a win. Because right now, Dynamo are 5 points off of Dnipro Odin, but Dnipro Odin have a game at hand. And yeah. Shakhtar, who's tied on points on 30 points with Dynamo, have two games at hand.
Yeah, if Dynamo don't win this match against Dnipro Odin, I mean a win with 3 points.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that's Dynamo, that's the title race out of Dynamo's hands.
Yeah. And if I don't know, it's going to be tough down stretch because, hold on, we have, like you said, it in Hulets is first.
Yeah, it's in Hulets first. And then after that is, I believe the second match is Dnipro Odin.
Dnipro Odin. Then you have Zorya, which we didn't win that game the first time we played them, right?
No.
We lost, right?
We lost two. We lost 3-2.
Yeah. 3-2, yeah.
That is the best club in the history of everything. FK Lviv, Minai. What's after Minai? And then Ruch. So that's the first six games. Realistically, that should be 18 points from 18. But knowing Dynamo, that could be something stupid like only 10 points. Oh, and after the Ruch game is... And after the Ruch game... It, lower. And, real, and also after the Ruch game is Shakhtar. So that's our first, the first, let's say the first half of the spring portion of the season. So you have what should be a win against Ingulets, tough games against Dnipro Zorya, then what was like Ruch, Minai, and someone, and Lviv, and then you play Waxtab. And we're sitting here contemplating if Dynamo's probably going to get less than 10 points out of a possible 18 or 21. If that doesn't explain how the state of affairs right now, I don't know what does. And the problem is we could go on for a whole, what, podcast to explain what's wrong, but it all leads back to one source.
Yeah.
Yeah, like every episode of the podcast is just ends up with the same problem.
It's unreal, man. Like,
So actually, maybe that's a good moment to talk about something else, which is, drumroll, politics.
Oh yeah, yeah,
so, maybe it's not like directly Dynamo related, but those of you who are not familiar with Ukrainian corrupted football system, is like the president of Ukrainian Federation of Football is pretty much a political position. And this guy's name is, I know guys you are, but I'm talking to the listeners, sort of. So Andriy Pavelko was designated by Poroshenko, so the previous president, and he was a member of his party, which is like called European Solidarity or something. And and he still is on his post during Zelensky's term because he changed the rules so he can't be thrown out like this easily. And there were rumors that Shevchenko wanted to take him down. I don't know if they were fake or it was something to it. But I also heard that UEFA's president, who also happens to be Pavelko's close friend, he threatened Shevchenko not to do anything because Ukraine national team can get a ban. Like some points deduction or something like that. Correct me, guys, if I'm wrong. So today there was like a first press conference of Pavelko in years, like literally in years. And some people, not all of the journalists, got to ask him some not really scripted questions, which is rare in Ukrainian football. So he went on about the corruption schemes that were running during Grigory Surkis' term as Ukrainian Federation president. We all know that Grigory Surkis is a real, like the man behind Dynamo.
He's, what are you talking about? Everything was so clean and transparent under the FFU Surkis years. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so he basically just gave out the papers about all the corruption schemes that Surkis used, which are well known to the like journalists in Ukraine, investigative journalists. Thing is that Pavelko is doing like something close to being the same that Surkis did. So he like declined to answer to any question concerning to his corruption scandals, but he also threw Grigory Surkis under the bus. So one of those scandals that Pavelko is involved in is like money laundering on some artificial grass factories or something like that. Yeah, that's one thing. And not to talk about his all lavish apartments in Kyiv and probably some villas in Zakarpattia. Yeah, so that's like a pretty standard thing for pre-war, pre-Maidan Ukrainian politician, like the member of establishment. But the outcome of this conference is like, Grigory Surkis is guilty of everything. I am the great guy. I help the army. I am a saint, and so on. So that's the state of affairs in Ukrainian football. I mean, I just wanted to share it.
I mean, the bravado from Andriy Pavelko to imply that Grigory Surkis would ever do anything wrong is just unbelievable.
I mean, he's not like, we all know that he's like, at least until the war, he was in the pro-Russian party, right?
Yeah. And where is Grigory Surkis now anyway?
Do they know probably where in Monte Carlo, right?
Yeah, with Medvedchuk probably.
He's not in Ukraine, wherever he is.
Yes, exactly. And Dynamo claims to be a patriotic club. Maybe they are, but their owner is not.
The fans are for sure.
Yes, exactly. And that's for me. I mean, I love this club, but what Grigory and Igor Surkis are doing to it, especially PR-wise, when they claim they are patriotic, but really they do nothing, at least PR-wise, which Shakhtar does great.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of the war, about the club's image and so on. Pavelko also mentioned that Shakhtar was the only club that protested the FIFA ruling at the beginning of the war that suspended the contracts. So Dynamo didn't care. Dynamo just offloaded a bunch of foreigners and yes, just get on with their lives. And Shakhtar is fighting for their money, right? So
well, listen, realistically, right? When someone like Gerson Rodriguez was brought in, or some other random, or great example, probably Clayton. Okay, yeah, maybe Dynamo lost a bit of money in a transfer or something like that.
My goodness, Clayton.
But you cannot tell me that. Let's say I'm like the Gerson Rodriguez chance. I think we spent like 2 million euros. You don't think Surkis got that same amount of money in like a deal with an agent somewhere? Of course he did. So he doesn't care. He probably got that money regardless.
Yeah, you are probably right. I can't believe I say that, but Shakhtar is more transparent than Dynamo. I mean, if I heard this like 5 years ago, I would be just shocked.
I mean, listen. The thing I was thinking about this, right? So Shakhtar has sold Mudrik for a very good price, as we all know. They still have a few players, Ukrainian players, who they could sell on for decent money. I mean, they've got, I'm trying to think here. They've got Trubin in goal.
Sudakov.
They could probably sell him for decent money.
Sudakov
and Sudakov.
And Matviyenko is priced at 30 million. Yeah. Brighton currently offers 11. So
exactly.
It's good for speed.
We've got injured Shaparenko and out of form Zabarny.
And Neshcheret, who's finally getting his chance in the first.
Yeah, he's getting his chances, fair enough. But I don't think we'd get Mudrik level money for him, that's for sure. Unfortunately.
I think for Neshcheret, Zabarny and Shaparenko probably combined, we'll be lucky to hit 40 million for those three combined.
I think we'd be lucky to get, 25, to be honest, more like that. But I just think, you know, if any offer comes in, which is around 5 or so million, I think we should just sell, because these players are not going to get any better here. That's a sad reality of the situation.
Dima, what you said about Mudrik, I think like the 100 million times, I'm sorry, the cut owner.
Well, of course, of course, you can't use this as a marker for every player. You can't just say, oh, he's not as expensive as Mudrik. But you know what my point is, you know, we're not going to get...
Yes, exactly.
Up for many, of course. I'm not expecting. No, come on, that would be silly. Like I said, I don't think if we sold our entire squad, we'd get the money Shakhtar got for Mudrik. But, yeah, but that's
I think I know what you mean. Like, if we can offload like 3 or 4 players by 20-30 million, we don't have them. But if we could offload 4 players for like 20-30 million. Euros, that would be decent,
yeah, exactly. You know, I'd say, first of all, it's a big shame that Shaparenko didn't leave like in 2021. I think the summer of 2021 would have been the perfect time to sell him. I think we would have got a good month for him, but that didn't happen with his injury anyway. God knows what's going to happen with him. Zabane, we all know, but the thing is, I'm trying to think who else is young. Sirota, right? Who's going to buy Sirota? Come on, let's be serious here. Come on, we're gonna have to pay them to take him off our hands with his concentration. God Almighty! But you know, it's not ideal.
I think there will be a couple teams in for Shepeliev and Andrievski. They'll watch the highlights back from those Shakhtar or Barcelona games.
Maybe.
Hey, Shepeliev scored the goal this year, so. I'm not going to have any Shepeliev slander on this podcast today.
It was quite a good goal, I think, that one.
Yeah, it was against Alexandria, roofed it.
Yeah, that was a good goal.
Literally 5 meters away from goal, just hit as hard as he could.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, it's not ideal scenario because Sürkis isn't going to really put proper money in. You know, and that's pretty much, you know, listen, pretty much the only hope Dinamo has is not about winning leagues or, you know, winning football matches. It's pretty much, can you get a new owner? And I guess, I don't know, maybe Shevchenko's and the Klitschko's get something together. I guess that would probably be best case scenario as of right now. Maybe we convince like some Saudi prince. Listen, I'm just throwing something at the board and seeing what sticks. You guys have anything to add before we wrap up today?
Yeah, I saw this tweet I mentioned. Name your club's best, worst, best, biggest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's a good idea. It's a good idea. We should quickly run through this.
So do you have... Okay, so I'd probably read that and you just say it because I have it opened.
Yeah, go on.
So, Alex, yeah?
Okay, yeah, I'll go first.
So best ever player for Dinamo?
Blocking.
Yeah. Worst ever player for Dinamo. That's rich.
Ooh, worst ever player. Worst ever player. I'm gonna go. Let me come back to that. I have to think about that one.
Best value for money signing.
Best value for money signing. Give me Aleksandar Dragovic, because I think if that was today, we would probably not have spent. I think we signed him for like 8 million euros. And I think today we would be lucky to sign him for 20. How good he was by the way.
I think I know who's Dima going to say.
I wonder who's going to say.
best value signing.
Okay. Biggest ever transfer flop, which kind of same that.
Mate, How long have you got?
Biggest transfer flop? I was going to say Supriaga, but I'm not going to go with him because I don't think the transfer fee was as big as they were reporting. I think it was a lot smaller. Biggest transfer
flop. That was something shady in here.
Yeah. Biggest transfer flop. Ooh, I'm going to go. This is another tough one. Biggest transfer flop.
Okay, so let's come back to it.
Yeah, come back to it for those two.
The potential.
Let me just do this. Yeah. best player to never fully reach their potential. I'm going to go, as much as I love this guy, Milevski, because that guy could have genuinely probably have been a world-class player. If
that's the obvious choice.
Yeah, that's the one. So I'm going to take the obvious choice. All right. So
don't forget Aliyev.
Worst ever and biggest ever flop.
Yeah, those two. I'll give you 2 minutes. I'll come back.
Hang on. Let me do biggest flop. Let me do biggest flop.
Yeah, we can do all the from the beginning, Dima. So best ever.
Okay, go on.
Best ever.
Best ever. Yeah, it's just got to be blocking. But best ever has got to be blocking 100%.
Okay, worst ever.
I'm so tempted to say Kabayev. I'm so tempted. No, I'm saying, I don't even care. I don't even care. It's Kabayev for me.
Okay. I think that's fresh.
Listen, I don't even care. This guy.
I wouldn't go with players currently at the club because some miracle can happen, you know?
Yeah, Kabayev becomes Eden Hazard.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and he wins the Ballon d'Or. Okay, best value for money signing.
I would go for Ismaël Bangoura.
That's a good shout. That's a great shout.
Is it like, am I deaf or I just don't hear right? Because I thought you'd say Miguel Veloso, but yeah, okay.
He was bought for a good, everyone know what we were getting. Bangoura was, you know, was a mostly unknown player. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but he was good at the beginning of the 2000s, right? So.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Veloso. You're right. Of course.
Okay. Okay. Biggest ever transfer flop.
Do you know what? I'm gonna have to go with probably. There's been so many. Does anyone remember Andrea?
So, Andrea. Yeah. That was the one I saw. I was thinking about earlier today.
Yeah. Does anyone remember? What was his name? Marco Ruben.
That's the other one I had on my mind.
No idea.
Rafael.
You know who I'm gonna put for my biggest transfer flop? I have two. Lukman Aruna, because the way he started out and the way he finished, night and day. And I'm gonna go Nico Kranjčar.
Oh yes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Remember those two?
Oh god, that's a good one. Nico Kranjčar, yeah.
Okay, so last one for you, Dima, player who never reached his potential.
I would go for Maxim Kobel, to be honest.
That's a good shot. You know,
big expectations for the guy. But Aliyev as well, I think, is a good... It's a good...
I have to admit, I still cry at night when I remember this young boy's flop. It was... Flappy hands at their best.
And the thing is about that game, he was literally having a good game and then he goes and does that.
Yes, exactly.
I still remember that.
Okay, Eric, your turn. The best ever player for Dynamo, I think we all agree with.
Yeah, it has to be Blochin.
Has to be. Worst ever player?
I'm blanking on his name now, but it's we got him from Kolos because he scored the goal against us in the 90th minute.
Antioch.
Antioch.
Yeah, okay, that's going to be mine as well.
That's good. Best value for money signing.
This is a tough one. I might have to go with Mbokani.
That's a good one.
Any of the 13, 14. Do you know what's when you think about it, so we signed Bilanda for 10 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he was worth more than that at the time. He'd have a good season in Ligue 1 and he'd won the league a few years ago, right? That was good value for money as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, same goes for any.
Another one that came to mind was Vida.
Oh, yes. That's...
He was only like I think 5 or 6 million, which was a steal. But yeah.
It's like the meme answer here. But Veloso as well, you have to remember the guy had a great Euro 2012.
Yeah,
he did.
Before we signed him, we got
him. Semi-finalist. You know, not that much money.
So yeah, listen.
Mm-hmm. So the next one should be biggest ever transfer flop.
I mean, the one that came to my mind first was Taiwo, but I think he was alone. He wasn't a transfer.
Yeah, he was alone.
Yeah.
Tomasz Kadar.
It's actually not a bad one.
I know, that's why I said it.
I'm trying to think.
Antic.
Facundo Bertolio.
Alex, who did you just say?
Pantic.
That's actually a good one. I'll go with Pantic. Because I think I'm not saying he was going to be great, but he was definitely supposed to be better than he was.
How about this one? Derlis Gonzalez.
Yeah, that guy was. See, he wasn't terrible.
He wasn't bad at first.
He started out, but yeah.
What about like Duelund?
But
you know what the only problem is with Duelund is I think we spend more money on worse players.
That's fair. I still think he's a pretty big flop, but
he's a big flop, but he's like back at the top 10 list.
Yeah. And
I just want to change my list for a player who never hit their potential. I'm changing mine to Vladislav Kolodvintsev.
That's a good one.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Komar, did you go? You go real quick.
I just wanted to remind you that I think we played some under 21 game with Russia, right?
Yes, all like 2013.
Before so Maidan. Good. And yeah. Kolodvintsev actually scored the game and he was really good.
Yeah.
So he became what we would call the pre-Mudrik. He was really well rated, but then he just wasted himself in Dynamo, like many before him and after him. Yeah. So. So I go quick with mine. So
mine to not hit the potential is Milevski.
Oh yeah. Good. Okay. So best ever player would be of course Bohin. Worst ever player from the ones you. Didn't mention. I was going to go with Oleksandr Rybka.
That's a good one.
But I don't remember if he got his doping ban in Dynamo or it was in Shakhtar.
That was at Shakhtar.
And then
history with that. Yeah. So with Srna also getting a ban. So that would be Rybka. I just don't remember him playing well. Maybe he was, but I just don't rate him very highly. He's in FK Lviv right now, so right?
No, I thought is he? I thought he's a Metalist.
Yeah, it's FK Lviv.
Maybe. Okay.
He went to FK Lviv.
So best value for money, I think that would be Vitorino Antunes, biggest ever flop. Oh my God. Okay, has to be Duelund, a player who never reached his potential. I think Oleksandr Aliyev.
Yes.
Good one.
Yeah. So on that note, we want to thank everyone for listening. The first episode of 2023, we'll be back with a lot more content. If you want to contact the show, you can find us on Twitter at Dynamo Abroad. Send us an email to dynamoabroadpodcast@gmail.com. From everyone here at Dynamo Abroad, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Dynamo.